brought to you by Penguin.
The Orange Room by Rosie Price. Read by Sophia Oxenham. Chapter 1. That summer she drove every morning across the common. The light was hazy, and her wheels kicked dust into their arches as she turned off towards the hotel. She pulled up, yanked the handbrake with both hands. Rhododendrons spilled pollen from their large purple heads, and ivy grew thick around the side of the building, pressing the rear window shut. At this time, the hotel was still and quiet. She propped open the back door, flipped on the light. Rhianne pulled her hair up into a ponytail. She had two thick peroxide skunk stripes that ran from the base of her skull, and she wore matte foundation beneath the streak of bronze powder, whose pigments showed up in a thick shimmer. Around her eyes, neon eyeliner, bold and geometric. This was the kind of makeup whose purpose was to draw attention rather than conceal. She liked the color. Liked knowing she could open her compact and let out the little pieces of light contained in that dense palette. War paint, Alexander used to call it. Ready for battle, he'd tell her, whenever her face was fully made. Always, Rhianne had said, spreading her elbows wide in her chair. She felt then the closest she ever had to power. In the bar, she stripped back the curtains on their rails, pushed her pen into her ponytail. The White Hart was a low, limestone building set just back from the common and sinking into the edge of the valley. At its front entrance, it appeared compact, almost residential, but its south face was open and sun-drenched, giving onto a jumble of converted outhouses and walled, dense gardens. There was the bar and the kitchen, guest rooms upstairs, and the kind of menu that brought clientele from London in Porsches and gunmetal S-types. The kinds of people, Alexander would have explained in the evening quiet of his top floor office, who didn't know there was a difference between wealth and good taste. Not like us, Rhianne. We understand. That's us. Renaissance rich, cash poor. In the restaurant, breakfast had been set out the night before. Napkins laid on scarred wooden tables with bright, unmatched crockery. Cereal bowls and juice glasses put out on the side. Rhianne tore the cling film from the bowls and pushed through the door to the kitchen. The atmospheric shift constituted noise and light. Kiss radio over the sound of spitting fat. There was Callum. Just his torso, on the other side of the hot plate. Callum was quiet, serious. Always his head bowed, the back of his neck exposed, his hair soft, buzz short. During service, he would work quickly, pausing to run his cloth around the edge of each dish he plated, calling, "Service," in a tone that was low, commanding, which made him seem older than Rhianne's 23. It had been this way every morning for a month. There was a kind of arrogance to Callum's containment, his ease in this place, the way he pulled his knife from its block without looking at it, the way he flicked his dishcloth back over his shoulder when he was finished with it, which gave her a sense of her own impermanence. He might nod, or perhaps he would ask how she was as he came to stand by the still, to fill his big, two-handled pan with hot water. His disinterest suited Rhianne because, despite the colours, the skunk stripes, she did not particularly want to be seen. They were midway through June. If she had not left, if she had stayed in London, today would have been the final day of her degree show. Callum did not look up as she went up the back steps. She crossed the courtyard to the walk-in fridge and took the butter block and an industrial tub of yogurt down from the shelf. Back to the kitchen. She laid out the block and he came, stood next to her, filling his pan from the still. She could feel him watching her. Her knife was old and blunt, and she pressed down on it with both hands, aiming for a clean cut, but the butter was thick and cold, and it crumbled straight away on the blade.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?